Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. She's here. Give a drum roll for Patrice Funderburg, our Executive Director for Center for Community Transitions.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Taking the place of Myra Clark.
Yes. Yeah.
And you guys are swapping brains right now, right? Does she implant her brain in yours?
She has been implanting her brain in mine for maybe almost 2 years now. I've been involved on the board of directors. And so I finally said yes in receiving the baton and filling her shoes as she prepares for her transition into retirement. She'll be with me through the end of June so that I can learn all the things and know all the things as I step into the role.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking before the show. The pre-show is so much better than the show. But you decided to get into this business of building people, not prisons, in 2016.
I did. And it's sort of nostalgic sitting here because I remember around that time, even coming to talk to you, not knowing anything about anything. What's really interesting is at the same time in 2016 was when I discovered CCT. And so this is full circle for me, starting with CCT was the first nonprofit that I explored and discovered when I literally fell into this work. And here we are for almost 4.5 years later, come full circle. And that's confirmation, right? It's confirmation for me in so many ways. So I'm really excited and it's a lot of hard work. I just love it. I love it. Looking forward to everything that this role is gonna bring.
It's layers.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't even write a job description to be the executive director for Center for Community Transit. You can't do that.
Right. You can. And as an HR person, I probably could come up with some good competencies and skills and qualifications. But there is something about this work that either you just have it or you are open and embracing of all that comes with this work, right? You know, we talk often about passion and passion for purpose and those things are great and wonderful. I think a large part of what I've learned over these last 4 years, being in community with just such a beautiful array of folks that are academically skilled, more importantly, folks that have lived this experience and holding space for me and all of my HR corporate background to find my way together with, you can't put that on a job description. You just can't.
Because you have three large programs that Center for Community Transitions does. LifeWorks, Families Doing Time, and Center for Women's Programs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Employment Readiness Program is kind of our flagship program. Probably what folks would most easily understand in terms of workforce development, preparing folks who have had some justice involvement, returning citizens that have that Scarlet F or that, you know, Scarlet anything with involved in the criminal legal system. We provide them with opportunities on reintegrating back into the workforce in a very unique and customized way. So the LifeWorks program works with folks from that standpoint. And then as we think about, you know, the way that the industry in this work is shifting and changing around labor and employment, really educating the community and businesses on, you know, how to see people, not see their convictions, right, and make decisions that impact their lives. So the LifeWorks program is a really important part of our program. We work with over 800 folks a year, and we have a proven lower recidivism rate and retention rate. So there's emerging research just nationally around people who have spent time in jail and prison having higher employee engagement scores, having higher productivity, certainly having higher retention rates. And on the other side of that, as an HR person, we know that the cost of turnover and attrition, right, oftentimes is double or triple the amount of someone's salary. And so this is a labor market that we just haven't tapped into because of fear, right? And in how we associate the profile of someone that has justice involvement. So I'm just really proud to be a part of an organization now on the operational side, right, to help educate the broader community, and more importantly, to see people and to let folks that have had that experience of jail or prison to know, to let them, like, we got you.
And I don't know if I'm right in saying this, but you can do more help. You can change things faster if you have boots on the ground versus being an elected official.
This is true. There are some elected officials that leverage their access and their power to policy and legislation to help move the work that's happening on the ground. But here's what white supremacy teaches us, that we have to operate in silos, right? And in order to uphold a system that is designed to other everyone, right? Oftentimes, we don't always have an opportunity to bridge that gap. There's a lot of legislation that has been passed over the past couple of years to reduce the impact, pause the impact, stop the impact of laws that were passed as a result of the war on drugs in the 80s. So there is that work happening. And what I learned from folks that are very much involved at a national and even state and local level around criminal justice policy and legislation specifically, on the other side, there's already bills being introduced to overturn some of the things in progress that has been made just in a short period of time. So you do need revolution on the ground, but you also need the policy and legislation and the legislative agenda to ensure that that's woven in so that it's sustainable. And with the focus and emphasis on criminal justice as a national conversation, and even at a state level and here and somewhat locally, it's emerging here locally. We really have an opportunity as a community with organizations like CCT and community partners and people who have lived this experience that are right here in our community. Many of them are clients of CCT, building that advocacy so that we can both educate and inform and interrupt that intergenerational cycle of incarceration is what CCT is focused on.
Right. Because what you see is what you'll be.
Right. There it is.
She's back, our new best friend. It's Patrice Funderburg, our executive director, our new executive director with Center for Community Transitions. And I'm learning some jargon, and everybody else can kind of follow suit. You are no longer called a ex-con, right? When you go to jail, prison. You are a returning citizen, honey.
Yes.
And you are, or we can say that I've been involved with the, I'm justice involved.
Justice involved.
I'm justice involved. Mm-hmm. Raise your pinky when you say it. Yeah. I'm justice involved. It's because it's more dignity. You know, the trap that got you in there, you know, treat me with some dignity. We're going to come out. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. And oftentimes what we need to also consider is the conditions, environmental conditions, societal conditions that created space for people to make choices that bring them into the system, right? The way, you know, that's a whole nother show, right? To talk about, you know, housing and education and healthcare and, you know, concentrated communities where poverty thrives, not actual people thrive. And so, you know, particularly communities of color, we are an abundant and resilient community and we'll make a way, right? And sometimes that means, you know, there's a neighborhood economy. And that neighborhood economy might go outside the scope of what the system that was designed to keep us marginalized, you know, would allow for legally. And so we get trapped in our own communities because of systemic injustice and the harms caused by, you know, colonization and all these other things. But we have to be reminded that we were resilient and innovative, and there's ingenuity and there's abundance in communities that are experiencing these, you know, societal burdens placed on us by design, right? The justice system just effectively, right, since the passing of the 13th Amendment, actually, has been that trap, that mousetrap every time. More importantly, when folks have that criminal conviction, now for the rest of their lives, to a certain extent, collateral consequences is what we call it. And so CCT works with people because being justice involved could also mean that there's community supervision and you actually never spent time in jail, right? But because of that community supervision and that conviction, you're still faced with the collateral consequences of housing discrimination, you know, employment, healthcare, all these economic mobility indicators, and CCT works with individuals to overcome those. Again, back to, you know, sort of this topic becoming a national conversation and even a local conversation, you know, it is my intention to create that advocacy, increase the advocacy with folks who have experience, have participated in our programs, to make sure that theirs are the voices, right, that move this work forward. Not the math, not the algorithms, not the research. All of that is important, but we have to lift forward folks that can not only tell their story of triumph, but actually be a part of designing a society where we don't continue these harmful practices.
Harmful practices.
Yeah, they are harmful.
To be a mom and raise an African-American son is an art form.
Yeah.
It really is, because then when you finally figure out, wow, my son is an endangered species.
Right. The fact that we even have to say those words about another human that we birthed.
You did a lot of work. Okay, I don't want to make you cry, because she meant a lot to me, too. And I only met her maybe twice, interviewed her once. Ramona Brandt.
Yes.
Ramona Brandt. This is how the system works. Ramona Brandt was going with a guy. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't married to him, I don't think.
No.
And he got arrested for some drug charges.
Yes.
Is it the district attorney that comes to you and says you need to turn over someone? I don't understand that part when they come to you and they already got you, but can you give us some other people? It's like, can you give us a referral?
Right.
So we can put some other people in jail.
Essentially, that's what it is. And we're going to dangle your freedom as the carrot.
Although right. You're getting time. You
right.
Got, he had to serve time.
He had to serve time. But you can get less time. So we'll dangle this carrot of freedom if you give up X number of people or help us build our case, the state case or the federal case against whoever the primary defendant is.
So he still had to serve time, but he turned her name in.
Turned her name in. She was convicted of a first time nonviolent drug conspiracy charge because she knew. And she was convicted and she was serving a life sentence.
A life sentence.
A life
just
sentence.
Just for knowing somebody.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Then she goes back into court. I'm skipping some moves here. She goes back into court. The judge gives her another life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
She has two life sentences. She walks out of court going, dang, I bet.
Ramona, when I met her and really became in community with her, she oftentimes talked about her sentence was a word. It wasn't a number. Her sentence was a word, right? Just the finality. You know what I mean? Just the, when you really just sit with that for a minute, her sentence was a word, not a number. So you can't, you know, you can't calculate, okay, life. So that means I'm going to be here until I'm 82 and a half years old, right? Like whatever. You just know that, like, for however long spirit sees fit to keep me on this earth, I will be in this cage. Like what that does, I can't even imagine, right? But fast forward back to sort of the abundance, right? Because this part of the system is to keep us in this scarcity mindset, right? And the beauty of Ramona, and she's with us, she's an ancestor now, so I don't go anywhere and have any of these conversations without taking Ramona with me. And anybody that knows me knows that, right? Period.
Ramona
is with us, you know, and she talked about that, right? That she was going to fight
for
right?
her sisters that she left behind.
Right. She was fighting for the sisters that she left behind. In fact, she invited me to join as an advocate member, an organization that I still hold very dear, the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. You talk about a powerhouse organization of hundreds of sisters that have lived behind that wall, that are doing congressional hearings at the state level, at the federal level. I mean, these sisters are some bad sisters. And I learn from them, right? This helps inform my work. And as I'm going into an institution here at CCT, I carry that with me because it's important that the work of the women who organized while they were behind the wall and are now, you know, testifying at congressional hearings and these things on things that they actually experienced, right? It's back to sort of that academic and the lived experience. The role of the advocate really is to create that space, right? Wherever we are in the movement. And I think about that a lot coming into the Center for Community Transitions, moving from sort of boots on the ground, as you said, activist, advocate on the streets, working together with justice involved folks, and how to level that up at an institutional level, right? Yeah. While also bringing more people that have that experience of jail or prison or some sort of community supervision to be a part of not reforming the system, right? Not reforming the system, but really reimagining what justice should be in the land of the free.
Does Congress know by now?
Child. Politics, that I think the language, you know, they just shift the language to hold on to, you know, the hard and fast. Here's what the law says, right?
Patrice Funderburg, she's such an angel. You're beautiful outside inside. And you're a powerhouse. You know that, right?
People have told me that.
Yes.
It's hard work. It's hard work. And it's very hard work in Charlotte.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean Queen Charlotte should clutch her pearls?
Queen Charlotte should clutch her pearls. But we're doing it, right? That's what we're here
for. I like how you would go into the jails and talk to women.
Yeah. So, again, back to where it all started with CCT. There are a couple other organizations that I discovered and got my little credential to go in the jail and was teaching in the women's programs at the Mecklenburg County Detention Center. In fact, I've been thinking a lot about, because I'm not teaching classes now that I've taken this role, and I've been kind of joking, half joking, not joking. I have to figure out, like, how do I get back in to see my people, like my women, my girls? Mm-hmm. Like that's such an important part of my own work. And so I have to figure out how to make that happen. If Sheriff is listening, I'll be calling you. Like, he knows.
Sheriff, you know.
Sheriff Gary knows me. So, and I'm always, when I see him at the jail, like, okay, what we doing? So that is a big part of the work as well. One of the programs at CCT actually is a residential facility for work release for women who are serving state sentences. And so we have a 30-bed work release facility where these women are living their transition right at the end of their incarceration sentence. And so they can be serving anywhere between 1 to 3 years. We often refer to it as the European model or the Norway model. Myra may have talked about that.
I love their model.
Yeah. And so we have women who are living their reentry. And it only makes sense, Francine, right, that these women living their reentry experience in transition, they participate in our employment readiness program, that when they are formally released, that they lead this work, right? That they now lead this work and bring the next, right, until we get everybody free.
And you could bring your kids. Is that true?
Yes. So it's a process. It's governed by the Department of Public Safety. So we are a nonprofit agency partner. But we had a woman who was able to live stream to see her daughter graduate from the Naval Academy recently. She wouldn't have been able to do that if she was behind the wall in a cage somewhere. We had a woman who was able to be with her husband who was in the process of transitioning, that she wouldn't have been able to do that if she was behind the wall. And so to be able to be with an organization and be a part of an organization educating this community in particular about the humanity of people who have made a mistake is very powerful. And it's such an honor to be where I am today in such a short period of time at that. March 26th is our annual event, our Build People Not Prisons event, where folks can hear a lot more about the Center for Community Transitions and the work that we do to disrupt that intergenerational cycle to prison and jail. And that's again on the 26th of March at Warehouse 242 at 6 p.m.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Warehouse 242 is really amazing. That's just the layout of it. And the food is amazing.
The food was great.
It was great. Mm-hmm. So where can we get a ticket? I know this is a walk-up city. We like to buy tickets the day.
So we've got a couple of different ways. The easiest is on our website, which is centerforcommunitytransitions.org. O-R-G. It should be right on the landing page. There's a button to learn more about the event. We also have some awesome sponsorships. So you can purchase single tickets. We also have bistro tables for the fancy. You can buy a bistro table, which seats four. And then because I come out of the corporate space and we got a really dope development director who is putting this all together, has developed a corporate partner prospectus where corporate partners that are sort of exploring the idea of second chance hiring and different things, you can be a sponsor, corporate sponsors. So there's information on the website about that as well.
CenterForCommunityTransitions.org. Patrice Funderburg is here, our executive director, and we are talking about an event that you have got to come to. It is March 26th. It's at Warehouse 242, 6 p.m. There's I call it a dance gala / auction fun time.
I like that.
Because I go to a lot of events. but the audience is involved, laughing and dancing and edging on and Bid higher.
Yeah, the live auction, you were awesome. The live auction was really great. And we've got some great auction items. I don't know what the list is now. Laura's kind of holding that to the vest right now. But yeah.
Getaways.
Yeah. Weekends. I think there were some cabins. I heard there might be some beach houses this year.
Nice.
So good stuff.
And you got good donors, so.
We do. Yeah. Yeah. We do.
And
we do.
You listening now can be a donor. You can be part of this fun. It's a party. I'm telling you, it's good. Who's going to be the speaker this year? I know last year was Daryl.
Yeah. So Daryl Atkinson, who is a mentor and teacher of mine based in Durham. This year is Pam Kelly. So Pam Kelly used to report for the Charlotte Observer, but she wrote a book called Money Rock based on Belton Platt.
Yes. Last week. Belton.
Okay. Yes. Yes. And so Pam and Belton got together, I guess, some years ago. And I think when she was with the Observer, she covered a lot of his story when he was kind of the man in Piedmont Court. And so he has transformed, you know, has an incredible story. And so Pam is coming to give our keynote remarks. On the 26th, yeah.
That is so something. Yeah, Belton was sitting right there last week this time. Yeah,
okay.
Telling about his story.
Yeah.
He was so green to the game.
It's pretty incredible.
So green.
Yeah.
And, I think they should make a Lifetime movie about him. Seriously. You can't write that.
Yeah. What about Ava? Let's just call Ava.
Okay. Let's
do Netflix.
It. Ava, if you're hearing this
show. Come on over to Charlotte.
I know you are. Hi. All right, we need to go right now, get those tickets, find out about Center for Community Transitions at centerforcommunitytransitions.org. Patrice, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.